Okay. Well, good morning. God bless you. I thought it was very inspired, David, that you suggested we sing Peace, Peace, Wonderful Peace, because that's what I'm going to teach on this morning. And we've been very blessed being here in Portugal. It's amazing to think from a couple of perspectives how the Word of God lives and abides forever. One thing I thought of is this place is so representative of history. Of, you know, everywhere you go, there's a castle, there's a palace, there's walls that have been there for, you know, hundreds, even thousands of years. But the Word of God is true throughout history, regardless of the time. And the Word of God is also true from country to country. You know, we live halfway around the world, but the Word of God is just as true in Portugal as it is in California, as it is in any other part of the world. When you think of how much the world has changed since the Bible was written, you know, with technology, with even things like electricity or television, radio, all the, you know, spaceships going to outer space. But yet the Word of God is just as true in 2024 as it was in 3 BC when Jesus Christ was born, or as it was when Adam and the woman were first made, formed, and created on earth. How absolutely incredible is the Word of God? It's, well, he says it's the greatest of his works. He magnified it above all his name. And this morning, as we do very often, we have the privilege of looking at God's wonderful Word. And it is, it's a privilege for me to share it. But as David was inspired, we're going to look at the peace of God this morning. And starting in John chapter 14. Fred told me that he's beginning a series of teachings on Jesus Christ and the Gospels. And one of the things that just jumps out of the pages of the Gospels is Jesus Christ as a teacher. And this section in John is recorded some of the greatest teachings that he taught. These are teachings that he taught, of course, before his crucifixion, through his sufferings. But we're going to look at a verse in John chapter 14, in verse 27. It says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be," what? Afraid. So the peace that we're going to look at is the peace that Jesus Christ gives, the peace that he has left us. A lot of Jesus Christ's teachings were preparation in light of the fact that he was going to leave. He knew that he would be here for a short period of time, but he would leave the believers, his followers, the 12 apostles, the other disciples, and really all of us, with that which we would need so that we could live for him and that we could be blessed, that we could, you know, rejoice in God, that we could worship God, that we could represent God. And one of the things that he left was peace. Now, if you haven't noticed, I'm sure you have, this world is not very peaceful. Right now, at this time, how many wars are going on in this world? Major wars, and wars that are escalating, getting worse. Our country, the United States of America. It's a great nation, but we have been at war a lot, too much, way too much. You know, people fighting. But there's also a lack of peace when it comes just what's inside human existence in people's hearts. Here, peace is contrasted with being troubled and being afraid. You know, people are troubled, very troubled. People are afraid of things, very, very afraid. People have great doubt and worry. If you watch television, if you read newspapers, if you look on your phone, so much of it is negative. It fills people of doubt and worry. And we all, at times, are subject to being troubled, you know, having anxiety. But instead of that, what did Jesus Christ give? He gave peace. And, you know, what we are going to look at in the Word is the peace that Jesus Christ gives, and then how to maintain and practice that in our lives. Earlier in the same chapter, in verse 1, it says a similar truth to what we just read. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. So we saw before that that peace was contrasted with being troubled, and peace was contrasted with, what was it, being afraid. But here it says a heart that's troubled is contrasted with believing in God, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. So a solution to trouble, a solution to fear, to a lack of peace, is to believe in God, to believe God's word, to believe in Jesus Christ. It's believing what the Word of God says that brings peace to our life, so that we can overcome those obstacles of doubt, worry, fear, you know, being afraid, being troubled. And then look at John 16. At the end of these verses are very closely related. Verse 33, it says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace." So the peace that we're looking at, the peace that we want to have in our life, is in Christ. It's in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the peace that he gives. It says, "In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." It's quite a statement for Jesus Christ to say, "I have overcome the world." But he overcame the world because he believed God's word perfectly. It says in 1 John that it's our believing that overcomes the world. You know, when you believe God's word, it's greater than the tribulation and the trouble and the, you know, anxiety and all the stuff that the world throws at you. It brings peace when you believe the word, when you believe in Jesus Christ. It's also interesting that in this it says, "Be of good cheer." Now you read that, I think, in, at least in the United States, when you think of good cheer, you think of like going out and having some beers with your, with your friends, and, you know, laughing and singing and at the bars, and, you know, cheering your, you know, favorite football team or whatever. But this phrase, "be of good cheer," there was a man from the Middle East that taught Dr. Rowell a lot about the Bible. Dr. Rowell's, you know, my teacher, and some of our teachers, you know, man that lived before us. But he taught him that this expression, "be of good cheer," referred to having a mind that is well arranged. a mind that is sound, like having your thoughts well arranged, which is interesting because that's, you know, a little deeper than just being happy, but having your thoughts well arranged. And that's, you know, what is involved here and what we're looking at is having peace of mind is tied into what do you do with your mind? You know, where does your mind go? What do you think about? Having your mind well arranged to think the thoughts of God's word. Look at Romans chapter 4. Book of Romans, chapter 4. It says in verse 25, you know, it's interesting because when you look at peace, you can look at it from a couple of different ways, like many of the other privileges and blessings that we have from God. One way you can look at it is from like the legal point of view, like what has been done legally and what has been accomplished for us. And then the other way that you can look at it is from a practical point of view of how we implement it, how we carry it out. And so many of the things that we have in Christ, peace being one of them, the things that we have in Christ can be viewed from both points of view. You know, for example, the Word of God says that we're blessed with all spiritual blessings. You know, we're blessed, whether we know it or not. It's true. We're blessed. We're God's people. But knowing that you're blessed and then living those blessings is maybe a, you know, an area where we fall short at times, where we don't always remember, we don't always implement it, we don't always practice. It's the same thing with peace. You know, Jesus Christ said, I leave my peace for you. We just read that. You know, he is given us peace. And we'll see here in the book of Romans how he did this from an accomplishment point of view, how he legally accomplished it for each of us. It says in at the end of chapter 4, we'll read in verse 24, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, which all of us have done, that's what entitles us to be Christians, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. So Jesus Christ was raised again, his resurrection from the dead, so that we could be justified for our justification. And then chapter 5 continues this. Therefore, being justified by faith or by believing, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So this is what Jesus Christ has accomplished for each of us. When he was raised from the dead, it was for our justification. Because he paid the price for our sins, for our offenses. And so we've been justified. We're no longer liable for the penalty of our sins. You know, in English, I don't know how this would work in Portuguese, but it's kind of neat. The word justification can be thought of as just as if I hadn't sinned. You know, our sins washed away. Jesus Christ paid the price for our weaknesses, our inabilities, all our faults, failures. We've been justified. And because we've been justified, verse 1 says, we have peace with God. Now, it's interesting. Prior to becoming a Christian, people are not at peace with God. In fact, if you take the time, we won't take the time, but in this following chapter, it talks about us being sinners. It talks about us being enemies of God. You know, the word enemies means anti-God, like against God. You know, that's people. People often, they're separated from God. But legally, through the work of Jesus Christ, we've been justified. Excuse me. Therefore, we have peace with God. That's ours. That's our legal privilege. Look at Colossians chapter 1. Thank you, Anna. Colossians chapter 1. In verse 18, it says, and he is the head of the body. Jesus Christ is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Or another translation, in all things he might be the prominent one. And then verse 19, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Verse 20, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. The word reconciled means to bring back together that which has been separated. So mankind being separated from God by sin, by, you know, alienated by wicked works, by all the problems of human nature, by Jesus Christ, we've been reconciled. We've been brought back together so that we're no longer enemies. We're no longer separated from God, but that we have peace with God. You know, it's funny. A lot of human beings, when it comes to, say, prayer, are sort of afraid to pray to God. You know, kind of wondering, you know, I'm not worthy, you know, I can't, you know, approach God. That's oftentimes why it's represented that, well, you have to go to church or you have to go through a priest or you have to, but, you know, God wants all people to come to him. And the way that he's made it available and given access for all of us to him is through Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ had brought back together those who are separated from God. As a result, we have peace with God. That's what we have all the time. It's part of being a son of God. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. Back a couple books. Ephesians chapter 2, in verse 12, it says that at that time, this is before you became a Christian, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. You know, until I learned about Jesus Christ and believed in Jesus Christ, I was without God and without hope in the world, you know, hopeless. And then it says, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our what? Peace. There it is, verse 14. For he is our peace, who hath made both one you know, the both referring to Jew and Gentile, and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity. The word enmity is Old English for conflict, for, you know, that warfare. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making what? Peace. You know, so he not only has made peace, brought us to God, peace with God, like we read in Romans, but also peace with each other, because he's brought us together into one body. In the body of Christ, it, you know, it doesn't really matter what country you're from. It doesn't really matter what, how rich you are, how poor you are. It doesn't really matter whether you're male or female. Now, in other categories of life, it matters a lot. But within the church, within the body of Christ, spiritually, we're all one. We're all brought together in one body. In other words, it's all peace. You know, there, some of the conflicts, the warfare and stuff that are going on, like what's in the Middle East, that's been going on for centuries, for, you know, millenniums. I mean, it's been going on forever. You know, people just hating and fighting and, you know, seemingly could never be solved. But yet Jesus Christ came for all of mankind and solved that division, that conflict, so that we're all brought together into one body. Are you talking about greatest man I ever lived, greatest accomplishment? And it's all been done so that now we have peace with God and also peace with each other. Does that mean that every day is going to always be peaceful? No. Jesus Christ, remember back at the end of John 16, he said, in the world, you'll have tribulation. You know, and we're in the world and we have stuff that comes up, don't we? I mean, we have, there's problems. There's things that make me mad. You know, there's things that make me sad. There's, you know, there's things that, you know, I can, if I let the word of God slip a little bit in my mind, I can start worrying or become anxious. But there's the practical side of how do you stay peaceful? How do you have peace of mind? And that's what we'll look at. Look at Isaiah chapter 26, please. Many years ago, Carol and I learned some verses of scripture that we memorized. And that's been one of the great blessings of my life. And some of this was, you know, 50 years ago. But scripture that, you know, like I started this morning saying, you know, the word of God is true throughout all time. And it's been true for, in my life, I've known it for 50 years. And this is a verse that I bring to mind pretty regularly. And it serves me well. It's a very wonderful verse, and particularly in light of what we're looking at. It's Isaiah chapter 26 in verse 3. It says, thou, referring to God, thou will keep him in what kind of peace?
Perfect
peace, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in thee. And this is a very wonderful practical verse of how to have peace, and not only have peace, but have perfect peace. In the Hebrew from which this is translated, it reads, thou will keep him in peace, peace. So it's like a double emphasis. You know, you can see how they translated a perfect peace. Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in thee. So this verse gives us some practical instruction of how to maintain and have peace, have perfect peace. It's by learning to stay your mind on God. And then here, staying your mind on God is equated with trusting God, you know, learning to trust God. And trusting God is part of believing. So these are tied together. You know, believing overcomes fear, doubt, worry, and, you know, lack of peace. So you learn to believe God by staying your mind on God and learning to trust what he says, you know, trusting God's word. Like earlier in the manifestations, you know, the manifestation was, you know, God's word is faithful, that he never fails his word, that what he has promised, he will bring to pass. So you learn to stay your mind on God by staying your mind on the word. And one of the ways that you do that is by remembering the word, retimorizing the word. If that, I don't know if that translates well into Portuguese, but retaining, memorizing, keeping the word in mind, you know, thinking the word, you know, and now there's not a lot of prompting in the world to remember the word. There's some, you know, you can look at a, you know, beautiful forest, or you can look at the ocean and remember God created, you know, the heavens and the earth. But there's a lot of things that are distracting in this life from the word. There's all, you know, billboards and cell phones and messages and politics and all the things that, you know, come up, and it can take your mind certainly away from the word to where you're not thinking about God anymore, you know. But here, perfect peace is the result of learning to stay your mind on the word. I think one of the things that I've observed in my life, and, you know, those, you guys are old enough, most of you here, to realize this, is that nowadays everything is much more instantaneous. You know, everything, just particularly with the internet and cell phones, that there's information. And, you know, I go on Instagram sometimes, and I'll look at Instagram, and you get, you know, and, you know, some of it's very interesting. Some of it's helpful. It's, you know, some of it's good. A lot of it's just stuff. But it, but either way, your mind is, you know, going all over the place. You know, it's very easy to do that. You know, I call it being a phrase that comes up, being scatterbrained, or, you know, spacehead, you know, and that comes up where, but here it's talking about staying your mind, not letting your mind go all over the place, but staying your mind on God's word. And as a result, learning to trust God's word. So you can see why sometimes people lack peace, because their mind's all over the place, instead of staying your mind on the things of God. So that's what a wonderful verse to implement and to see. There's another phrase we won't look at it, but there's another phrase in the Old Testament that's tied to this. It's the phrase fixed heart, very akin to having a stayed mind, having a fixed heart. And that's something you can look up, those Bible fans here. And look at Romans chapter 8. Yeah, there's a, I don't know how this translates, but there's a phrase that comes up sometimes with, I think it's with computers, and it certainly relates to our thinking, is garbage in, garbage out. Have you ever heard that? In other words, if what you're thinking about is garbage, then what you're going to put out is garbage, right? You know, what you're receiving, what you're thinking. And so, you know, having peace of mind is tied to having thoughts of God that are peaceful. I mean, I know humans that spend all day looking at the news on TV. And they are some of the most unpeaceful people that I've they're worried. They just results is they're anxious. They're worried. You know, it's like, you know, something that's happening 3,000 miles away, you know, is they're worried about, you know, that happening to them and with no tie-in whatsoever. But so it's a lot of what it depends on what you feed your mind. In Romans chapter 8, it's just a wonderful section. It says in verse 5, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. And the word mind here means, you know, basically to think about. So in other words, if you're, you know, feeding on the carnal things, the fleshly things, the sense knowledge information, well, you know, that's the things that you will be feeding on, you will be mindful of. But then there's another way to think. It says, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So, you know, you can, as a Christian, you can learn to think spiritually and to think according to the Spirit. There's a translation that you lent me your copy of it, that Reverend Cummins did, and that it's they there after the Spirit. It can be understood as thinking things of the Spirit or thinking about the Spirit. You know, we each have been given the Spirit of God, and included in that Spirit are like our justification. Included in that Spirit is having peace with God, having access with God, being righteous, all the real wonderful blessings that come with the new birth. Well, those are things that we can think about, that we should think about, that, you know, are a blessing. And look at what it says in verse 6. It says, for to be carnally minded is death. Now, that doesn't mean that if you have some carnal worldly thoughts that you're automatically going to die and be buried in the grave. But it's along the lines of it doesn't produce life. It doesn't bring life. It's doesn't go anywhere. It's not good. It's death. And then it says, but to be spiritually minded is life and what? Peace. And again, this spiritually minded could be translated to think of the Spirit. You know, to think of the Spirit that God has given you brings life and peace. What a contrast between death and life. Between being all worried, you know, troubled, and having peace. Look at Colossians chapter 3. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians chapter 3. In verse 15, it says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye, what? Thankful. See, again, as you think of the things of God, what God has done for you, it brings peace. It's something that's sure, that's certain. something that overcomes doubt. It says in here that that you're called in one body and be thankful. Well, when you start thinking of what God has done for you, when you're thinking of the Spirit, when you're thinking of, you know, being justified, that Jesus Christ paid the price for your sins, all the things we've been looking at, it just gives you so much within your heart to be thankful for, doesn't it? I mean, you know, sometimes we can lose thanksgiving. We can look at all the stuff we don't have, you know, or, you know, be concerned about, you know, overly concerned about all the problems that we might face. But when you start thinking of the things of God and what Christ has accomplished, there's so much to be thankful for. But I thought of this section. Look at James chapter 1 for a second. I thought of this when we went up to where the big waves are up in, where was that?
Nazareth.
Yeah, we went there a few days ago. In the book of James. Yeah, it says in verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. You know, talk about a great promise of God. You know, if you lack wisdom. Anybody here ever lack wisdom? Yeah, you know what wisdom means? Is knowing what to do. I mean, what's the right thing to do? Now, when you get to a point where you don't know what to do, which, how often does that come up? Like a lot? You know, some things little, but some things big, you know, like making decisions about life and careers and marriage or where to go or relationship, all the, you know, big stuff. Well, here it says, if you lack wisdom, you know, another, you know, this would be a very literal translation according to usage, but if any of you doesn't know what to do, if you lack wisdom, ask God, who gives to all men liberally. You know, he's not withholding wisdom. He gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not. He doesn't, you know, rescind it or regret it or take it back. And it shall be given him. That is a promise of God. And then it says, but let him ask in believing, nothing wavering. For he that wavers is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. You know, I thought of that. It's like this, that's a pretty good description of doubt, is like wavering. Because, you know, what's wavering? Like back and forth, you know, between like two or more options. Like when you're thinking about what to do. You know, I could do this or I could do this. I'm back and forth and I kind of doubt. I wonder, you know, it's like wavering. And then it says, for he that wavers is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Now, I think of the, you know, we're looking, you look at the waves come in and they carry you, you know, they carry weight and stuff. But then what do? They break. And they toss, and then it, you know, it's all churning and it's all, you know, churned up. You know, it's like we go to Hawaii pretty often, and the, you know, there's these places where you go body surfing in the surf, and you come in and you get carried in, and then the wave breaks, and then it's like a, you know, being in a washing machine, or, you know, just all tossed around. And that's what happens to people's brains. You know, when you're not staying put on the word and believing, right? You get carried away and then tossed, and it's kind of a confusion, and that's, you know, a good description of doubt the anxiety that can take place. Look at Philippians chapter 4. But I love that verse in that we briefly looked at in Colossians, where it says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. The reason we can just let it rule in our hearts is because we've got it. We've got peace with God. It's, you know, we just need to remember it, but let it rule in your heart. You know, don't restrain it. Don't hold it back. Just let it rule in your hearts by thinking the things of God, by thinking of the Spirit of God, thinking the Word of God. Philippians chapter 4, this kind of ties into, if any of you lack wisdom, ask God. Well, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, it says, be careful for nothing. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And we read in James, if you know, have a need, know what's going on, what to do, ask God. Here it says, let your requests be made known unto God. Do it with thanksgiving. But in everything, pray. Thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep or guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. It's interesting because verse 6 starts with being anxious. The Bible that I'm reading translates that word as careful, which, you know, in English, careful can be a good word, like being careful. Careful that you don't slip and fall down, or, you know, careful with your money or whatever. But the old English meaning of it was to be full of care, like to be all worried and anxious, full of cares. But, you know, a modern translation in English would be stressed, you know, be stressed for nothing. Don't get uptight. Be stressed for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the result will be the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You know, verse 6 starts with being anxious, stressed, uptight. But verse 7, the result of praying is peace. It's pretty cool. I mean, you talk about a good trade, you know, something worth employing. You know, how about when, you know, when something comes up that causes worry or doubt, or, you know, pray. You know, we saw earlier very clear instruction of how to have peace is to stay your mind on the things of God. You know, trust what God's word says. Here, very clear instruction on what to do. You know, if you're lacking peace, pray. You know, pray for things. Pray for the things that might make you uptight. You know, if you're lacking wisdom and understanding of what to do, you know, pray to God. And it says here, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. There's a wonderful translation of this passes all understanding in the English, three words. But here, listen to this translation. The peace of God, which is more excellent than every way of thinking. Let me say that again. The peace of God, which is more excellent, that's that word passeth in King James, but which is more excellent than every way of thinking. Now that's what a statement. You know, because there's a lot of ways of thinking. There's a lot of ways you can think about things. But when you get to the peace of God, that God gives, it's more excellent than every way of thinking. And that will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And then it goes on in verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. Now, just stop and think. Can you think of something that's true? Of course you can. You know, Jesus Christ came.
Yeah.
Pay the price for our sins. You could, I mean, but thoughts that are true, whatsoever things are honest. And, you know, you with this list, you just take it and stop. Well, okay, well, what is something that's honest? You know, to think thoughts that are honest. Whatsoever things are just. Whatsoever things are pure. Whatsoever things are lovely. You know, to think lovely thoughts, not ugly thoughts, but lovely thoughts. Whatsoever things are of good report. If there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. That's quite a list.
Yeah.
It's quite a list. It's something that, you know, when it comes to practicing, you know, this is really so much of what we're looking at is in the category of the renewed mind. It's, you know, what to do with your brain cells, you know, to have peace of mind. But, you know, you could take this list and just practice. You know, a similar list is in 1 Corinthians 13, where it talks about the love of God. And, you know, it starts by saying the love of God is kind. And I've done this, and it's really fun. It really works too. It's just unbelievable, it's very believable. But it's, you know, just to go out and practice being kind. Real simple, you know, just be kind. You know, just be kind to people. Do kind things. You know, be kind. Be nice. Be, you know, I mean, this is not complicated theology where you got to go get a learn Greek and Aramaic and Hebrew, but just to be kind, these, you know, whatsoever things are lovely, think lovely thoughts, you know, and this is God's word to us as Christians. And, you know, I think, you know, sometimes we get all enamored with, you know, the really deep truths of the word, but these are the truths that work, that are practical. And by the way, these are things that none of us have mastered. You know, no matter how much somebody might give off that they're a master of the word or something, hey, it can be very challenging. You know, I mean, this could be an advanced class, if you know what I'm saying, is like to be able to, you know, practice and really achieve these things. I think they're just fantastic. And then look at verse 9. It says, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be what? With you. You know, now the God of peace is with us all the time, but when you think the thoughts of God, when you practice the things of God, he will be with you in your heart, in your mind, in your actions. And you know what's great is that the things that we looked at this morning of how to have, you know, peace of mind, how to have the peace of God in our life, this is not dependent on anything that the world does or doesn't do. You know, it's not like I'm going to become peaceful when the war in Israel ends. You know, it'll, by the way, it'll probably never end. This keeps going on and on and on. I mean, but, you know, it's not like, you know, in the United States, if my guy gets elected, then I'm going to have peace. Then my problems will be solved. No, no. If it was dependent on that, we'd be in trouble. But the things that we looked at, these are things that you can do anywhere, anytime. You know, you can do it regardless of what's going on around you. And as a result, having peace of mind, I think, you know, this is at the top of many, maybe most people's list of things they want in life, is to have peace. And, you know, let me say, because of the Lord Jesus Christ, we've got it. You know, we've got peace. You know, he, like he said in John 14, you know, my peace I leave with you. He left peace here so that we can have it. But there are things that to be able to achieve it and manifest it, you know, we have to practice. And it's certainly a privilege, and it's a blessing. So anyway, this is just some of the stuff I've been working on. To me, it's very challenging to, you know, you get it and then to maintain it and to, you know, to really have it become, you know, habit, and to think the things of the Spirit, things of God, keep my mind stayed on God, and to trust him. And it works. So I thought I'd be blessed to share that with you this morning. And God bless you. May the God of peace be with you. Okay, I'll pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the wonderful word that you've given us, the privilege it is to be your children and to be the recipients of all the blessings that Christ has achieved. Father, we're just so very thankful to know that we have the Spirit of God within, and Father, that we are at peace with you and one with another. Father, I pray for everybody here, for just their wonderful, beautiful hearts to receive your word and to retain it, release it. Father, that as we keep our hearts steadfast and fixed upon you, that you are so good to bring to pass that which you have promised, to give us wisdom and guidance, health and prosperity. Father, to give us open doors of utterance to speak for you, and Father, so many other things that your word promises as we do our small part and you do the rest. So Father, thank you for this privilege that I have to be able to share your love and your word with these beautiful saints, and Father, the blessed hope of your son's soon return that we look forward to. Father, we praise you and pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.